Good morning and welcome to worship as we worship our God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Welcome. I welcome each of you who have joined me here in the sanctuary this morning and each of you who are joining us online. Welcome. I am Reverend Corrine Borath, and assisting me in leading worship today are Mary Mendel, Joe Snyder, and Don Schultz. Our music will be by our sanctuary choir. Today we have a special signing, a book signing, in the narthex this morning. Dwayne Landwehr, our resident author, has published another book. Those books are available out in the narthex following the worship service. Please stop by and purchase your book and have that special author sign it for you. We continue to be in our stewardship program series with Greater Than, and each of you have been invited and hopefully have. If you don't, be sure to get it during greeting time. But that is your wristband. I happen to have mine here. And the wristband has the symbols for God, the G, greater than. And this has highs and lows, which represent everything. So as we know, God is greater than everything. Be sure to get your wristband and wear it. Let it be a reminder to you of our stewardship series and something that we should carry with us always. Today is a very special concert. We will be gathering here in the sanctuary at 4 o'clock for our Caring Hearts Community Concert. There are 5 choirs that will be joining us here in the sanctuary as a sign of unity and peace on this International Day of Unity and Peace. We are gathering together, so please come, show support for your church, show support for your community, and show up here for this concert. That's at 4 o'clock today. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship. Thank you.
Good morning. Join me in our call to worship. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is the great God. Good morning, church family. As we talk about our service and giving to God, I've served on several committees here at our church, and the outreach committee, pastor parish committee, and also church secretary for several years. And in that service, we're giving back not only to our wider community through programs through outreach, but also to each other, remembering that God loves us, and through us, God loves others. Now we give our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Great and holy God, we give you thanks and praise for all that you have given. May our offerings this morning be an investment in the gospel message, an investment that will bless you, your people, and your world. This we pray in your eternal name. Amen.
Let's pray. Jesus, oh Jesus, we come to you today seeking your help to make our lives look more like you. Where should we begin, Jesus, to unclutter our lives? We have yielded to temptation and filled our days with more commitments than we can comfortably manage. Help us to make ourselves a little less busy. Free our time, Jesus. We have crowded our space with too much baggage, with gadgets and conveniences and possessions. Help us to let go of whatever we cling to. Jesus, free our hands. We have filled our heads with trivial distractions, news and weather, gossip and prejudices. Help us to focus on more important concerns, your concerns. Free our minds. Jesus, our lives are cluttered with more idols than we realized. We have given to them a reverence they do not deserve. Teach us, Lord, to renounce their claim on us and end our divided allegiance. Guide us each to a simpler life and more generous service. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. And now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament lesson today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. Please stand in body and spirit out of respect for the gospel. Our gospel lesson is from Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who bears or hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
I recently heard about a preacher that went to her congregation one morning and said, "This is going to be an interactive service. I have prepared 3 sermons, and you get to help decide which one I give." The first sermon is a $50 sermon. It's a fire and brimstone type of sermon, and it'll last about 2 hours. The second sermon is a $100 sermon, and this sermon is about the evil of sin, and it's right around an hour. The last sermon is a $500 sermon, and it's about love and generosity, and it will last about 15 minutes. Now, you get to decide, because we're going to pass the offering plate. And when we've made our collection, I will count the number of people here, and you will decide which one we hear today. Well, I thought that was a great idea. Just kidding. But we are in our stewardship time. We are offering a series to talk about God is greater than everything. And you were gifted a wristband. And I hope, even if you don't wear a wristband, I want to make sure the choir gets one. So on your way out this morning, but make sure that you have your wristband and wear it or carry it with you. You can keep it in a pocket if you don't want to. But when you wear it, it's quite, people will ask about it. I know I have a tendency to ask about different wristbands that I see on people, and you can have an opportunity, because the symbols on there are the symbols for God is greater. And this happens to be greater than the highs and lows. If you look, it's water and a mountain. However, which goes along with what we're talking about today, by the way, having said that, God is greater than everything. And you'll have an opportunity to say, it means God is greater than. And you can, if they ask more, you can explain. I was just thrilled. I had purchased these for you and to share with you, and I was excited to give them to you. And Wednesday, I had a lunch meeting in Alexandria at a pancake house. And lo and behold, if the person coming around filling water glasses and my coffee cup, of course, and while we were going around and having this meeting, I noticed a very large black tattoo across his arm. It was these symbols. God is greater than the highs and lows. And I was so thrilled. Right in the middle of my meeting, I go, "I know what that means." And I told him, I said, "God is greater than the highs and lows." Everybody was kind of shocked in my meeting. And he looked at me and he said, "You are the first person that knows that. Everybody else thinks I'm wearing some kind of hieroglyphics or something. So you have an inside scoop." These symbols are something that shares a very, very important message. And our series is about, we're remembering that God is greater than everything, and we want to align ourselves with those things that are God-like, that are greater than. Last week we looked at, and thanks to Pastor Brian for sharing with you, we are greater than me. This week it's investment is greater than quick fix. And that sounds like a yawn, right? Well, we'll get there, so hopefully not. But this whole series of stewardship, what we're talking about is this being greater than, that God is greater than. And our passage that we looked at today from Matthew gives us a wonderful picture. Jesus tells us and addresses this being greater than, the investment is greater than the quick fix, and does so in the parable. And this is from Matthew 7. And we have this passage from Matthew 7, and Jesus was talking to a group of people that were around him, and he was telling them, this is the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. And so he was sharing with this people, this group of people, and they were, you get a lot of nods, and they were agreeing, and they were even reverently accepting what he was saying. They weren't argumentative, they weren't interfering, they were listening and accepting that. And Jesus was warning them that that's not enough. It's not enough to just hear what I say. You have to put it into action. You have to use it to build your life. It has to be foundational for you. And so in this passage of the Sermon on the Mount, where he's ending the Sermon on the Mount, it, by the way, if you want to know how to build that foundation that Jesus is talking about, I might suggest that you read Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. It is a powerful sermon, a powerful foundational message for Christians. The Sermon on the Mount, those chapters have been called the Christian Magna Carta. It's been called the Design for Christian Life. And so it's important information for us on how to live into that foundation that Jesus is talking about. In the Sermon on the Mount, just to give you a glimpse of what we hear it contains within it our three important teachings of Jesus. And that is, we hear the Lord's Prayer. We hear also not only the Lord's Prayer, but we hear Jesus talking, giving us the golden rule. Very important information. We hear that he tells us to, gives us certain instructions on how to treat people who have less than what we have. How to, whether or not to judge people. How to share with people, how to deal with our money, what that all looks like. It also deals with murder, adultery, oaths, revenge, worry. So if you ever want to know any of that stuff and hear what Jesus had to say about it, it's there in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Important information. Jesus was telling us that we were to be foundation builders. Went on to say and tell the story of the two builders. Now they were building homes, and one built on rock and one built on sand. And the people of Jesus' day understood that what they were hearing, the houses were identical. If you were to go into the house and you were to go room by room, you would not be able to tell any difference. And from the exterior, they just looked indistinguishable. You could not tell, right? And so it is with people. Sometimes it's difficult to see until the storm comes, and then it becomes very obvious. And that's what God, that's what Jesus was teaching the people. These homes were alike in every way. They faced the same difficulties, the same storms, but one was built on rock and one was built on sand. Now, the people Jesus were talking to knew very well what they understood what he meant. But you know, the people of Jesus' day are not unlike us. I mean, to build on the rock was difficult. There was a lot of rock in Israel, and so that was not difficult to find. But to build up on the rock, they would have to level it. They would have to drag all their materials up the rock, and get everything up there that they needed. Once they had built their home up on the rock, it was difficult. They'd have to haul all their water up, everything that they needed up to their home. It was just hard. It was a true investment of time and labor, and most of them chose not to do that. They instead built on the flat beds of the streams. Those were level. Those were flat. They were easy to build on. You didn't have to do all that prep. Plus, it was pretty down there. There was whatever little green there was in Israel, that's where it was. It was prettier. Water was easily accessible. In Israel, though, what does happen is those, and they're still built on today, those beds, and still built on everywhere. We have people that build in old stream beds. Floods come. And in Israel, it wipes out entire villages and wipes out entire lives of the people that live there, because they're sudden, they're fast, without warning. There are no alarm systems in Jesus' day. And so they're just obliterated. They knew what Jesus was talking about. And yet they had chosen, many, to not build on the rock, but to build on the sand. And Jesus was warning them that they needed to build correctly. They needed to be wise. They needed to build on the rock. And you're thinking, well, why is he so having such a problem with where they build their house? He's talking metaphorically, using that image of what was really happening in their lives for their faith. You see, they were not building, and they were being challenged to build a life with a foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ, to build their lives. And he was not only telling them to do that, but reminding them that each one of them, each one of us, is builders. We build our lives. We are the builders. There's a story that comes to us. It's called The Builder. It's kind of an older story. You may have heard it, but it's worth repeating. In this story, there was a carpenter, and he and his family were very poor, just kind of scraping by. He had kind of a large family. And a rich man that lived nearby happened to notice. And so he called the carpenter, give him some work. He called the carpenter and he said, I want you to build for me. And he handed the blueprints to a very large house that he wanted this carpenter to build for him. And he said, I don't want you to spare any expense. I want you to use the very finest materials. Have all the expert builders call them in, contract them in. I will pay you for that. Have the very best of everything put in this house. Now, I'm going to be gone for a while. Maybe he was going to Florida for the winter. Who knows? I'm going to be gone for a while, but when I come back, I want the house to be done. And so the contractor thought, I am going to make a bundle on this. And so he scrimped on materials. He paid and contracted with people who had no experience whatsoever so that he could pay them the lowest possible wages. And when there were mistakes made, he simply painted over it or covered it up. And when the rich person came back, He handed the keys to the house. It was all complete. And he said, there you go, just as you instructed. It's just the way you wanted it. And the rich man handed back the keys and said, this is for you and your family to live in. He had built something that he regretted for the rest of his days, living in that house that he had taken the quick fix. He had not invested himself at all in that. There is a poem that is by R.L. Strike. And R.L. Strike wrote this very short poem. I wanted to share it with you because it very much fits. In the poem starts, isn't it strange that kings and princes, clowns and common people like you and me are builders for eternity? We're given a bag of tools, an empty mass, a book of rules, and we must build a stumbling block or a stepping stone. That is what Jesus is reminding us of today. He is calling us to be wise, to build a foundation on Him. We know how. We have the instruction manual. You see, there are a lot of quick fixes in the world. A lot of those all around us. And there was a man that did research on why we are kind of fixated on the quick fix in our culture. And he found out that in ancient times, we were created with a craving for sweetness. We know now what has happened to that. And he said, actually, that was a survival mechanism that we had built within us in our core because we needed to crave the sweetness of the berries and fruits in order for us to have those nutrients that we needed to survive and have healthy lives. Well, that worked until he said we invented the most horrible invention of all for human beings, and that was refined sugar. And we all know the repercussions of unregulated refined sugar in our lives. We still have the cravings for it, right? But now it is so easy. We don't have to go hunt for honey out of a tree stump. We don't have to wait for fruits in season and then go find them and pick them. We can have our sweet cravings fixed anytime with any food or beverage that we want, as many times a day as we want it. And we do. We like that instant gratification. We want and want and want. We see that in things like hitting the snooze on the alarm, that we have this instant gratification in watching show after show after TV show, series on TV. We can do that now. We don't have to wait a week for the next session. We can scroll in social media endlessly and find all kinds of things instantly. I love it when I ask a question in a group and you see everybody go to their cell phones and Googling it to see what the answer is. Instantly, we can be told. So why not our church? Why not in the church? Why not our faith? Well, instead of in the church, in our community in the church, we are to be foundation builders of more than just in the moment. We are to be foundation builders of the future. And we're told how to do that. I invite you to pull out your bulletins if you haven't folded and lost them yet. And in our 1 Timothy passage, I'm going to invite you to read along with me verses 18 and 19. It begins with, "Tell them." And if you'll read with me. "Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so they may experience true life." That's what Jesus is calling us to. That is building a foundation for the future, for our future, for the future of the church. And I invite you to prayerfully consider, as you are stewards of what God has gifted to you, your time, your talents, and your treasures, I invite you to consider this coming week very prayerfully what God is calling you to do to help build God's future here at Anderson First United Methodist Church. We are going to sing our hymn together, "Let Take My Life," thank you. And then that will be followed, Don Schultz will be leading us in our litany of generosity. So I invite you to be prayerful in our singing and our sharing. Let us sing together.
As the hymn echoes our heart's desire to be more like you, Lord, we end our worship today with a litany of generosity. Dear Lord, we come to ask you to help us to be more generous. So we may give without counting the cost. So we may know the joy that comes from helping others. So we may recognize the many blessings in each new day. So we may ever thank you and serve you.
Let us stand to receive the benediction. Jesus gave to us a building code to build a firm foundation for our lives. In the United States, there are no uniform building codes for communities. It doesn't exist. There's no uniform language. In our community, the church, there is a uniform language. There is a uniform building code. Let us go praising God that we have Jesus Christ as our foundation. Amen.